you for downloading this message from Our Father's House.
I want us to stay. Listen, y'all can stand, you can sit, do whatever. I'm not going to be that much longer because I didn't come to impress today. I promise you, I got 10 pages of notes. I promise you. But I come bearing this message from God. I had no idea, I promise you, that God was going to move like this. I just knew he was going to move. So none of this is planned. First of all, I'm not even smart enough to talk as much as I've talked today. It's okay, I know me. Say thank you, preacher. By the way, my name is Elder Germaine Brunson. Y'all can just call me G because I'm in the midst of family. Amen. So since I don't know all my family members, on the count of three, I need for you to scream your name. One, two, three. It's so nice to meet your family. But not only do I come as a family member today, I come as the Old Testament used to declare as an oracle. An oracle is simply this put. It's the mouthpiece of God. Okay, if you don't understand that, it's simply I come as a messenger to deliver a message to you. In preparation for the Chosen Youth Conference, Pastor Justin called me and said, Elder, I need for you to come to Pineville. I need for you to get this thing kicked off on this Sunday morning. He said, I want you to pray about it and see what the Lord said, which at which time I said, I don't need to pray about it. Because why would I pray to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people? So if you ever encounter a preacher that say, well, let me pray about it, hang the phone up and tell them, maybe I'll call you back. Because this day, God is not playing. It's not about my agenda. It's not about his or hers. What I had to do was make sure it fit in the schedule. Because I don't turn down opportunities to preach the gospel of Jesus. For furthermore, that's what he called us all to do. As I begin to seek the Lord about what to say, this is what the Lord said to me. I'm going to read something and then I'm going to declare something in the atmosphere. And then we'll talk about what's going to take place. Y'all, excuse me. For the Bible says in Joel chapter number 2, and it shall come to pass afterward. Joel chapter 2, verses number 28 declares, and it shall come to pass afterwards. They said three times the charm. I'm going to say it again. And it shall come to pass. The word. And I come to let you know that there's going to be, here's the title, an after effect. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, talk, you ain't talking, you didn't talk. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, something's going to happen afterwards. Woo. Look at somebody else. Look at them and say, hey, I want you to know that in in about 12 days, something is going to happen afterwards. Find somebody else. He's got the heartbeat. He's got the heartbeat. He's got the heartbeat. Look at somebody. Tell them something's going to happen afterwards. 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 It's going to happen. It's going to happen afterwards. Woo. Y'all pray for me. I'm losing my voice and I got to do this tonight, but I'm not worried. You know why? Because something's going to happen afterwards. Yeah. The Bible tells us in Joel chapter 2, and I'm moving quickly now because we're about to declare and decree some things in the atmosphere. Touch your neighbor and turn it this way for me. Just I'm going to keep it right here. Thank you. Thank you. The Bible tells us in Joel chapter number 2 that there's two things taking place throughout this book. There was the announcement of destruction, but on the second half of the book, after the destruction came a blessing. I gotta prophesy right now. There's about to be a blessing coming because there was destruction. I don't know who you are, but if you've been experiencing something that's negative, shout right now because the blessing is on the way. And it came in the way of an army. But it's amazing how God works things out. Because typically when I say an army typically, man, lift your hands. The glory. The glory. It's amazing how destruction came. Some theologians, my favorite commentary, Matthew Henry said that it was a natural disaster. Oh, I don't want to talk about y'all snow and rain and y'all flood. But God didn't use angels. He didn't use the flick of his finger. Because you do know he's powerful, don't you? The glory. Would it take a man like this? Me not even really get my hands on him and cause them go out. It's not me. It's. He didn't use angels. No. He didn't speak destruction. No. He put a charge in a weird army. He used locusts. One author described this bunch of destroyers marching to the same beat. When one turned, they all turned. When one went back, they all went back. This author described them just going into houses, going into cracks and tearing it down, not from the top to bottom, but from the bottom up. That doesn't even make sense. But they were so powerful that they would destroy the foundation of the building. To the point that as it fell, they didn't even work hard. They just stood there and just gobble, gobble, gobble. See, that's what some of y'all been experiencing. Your foundation has been destroyed. The basic tenets of Christianity has been destroyed. And the reason why is because of knuckleheads like me not preaching truth. Preaching greasy grace. Once saved, always saved. The devil is a liar. You sin, you're going to hell. Period. So they was powerful. They were mighty. But in the midst of destruction, here comes God in Joel chapter 2 verse 12. And he declared this. Turn unto me with all your heart. Woo. Turn there simply means to go back to the original state. Turn there means to walk away from that which has been destroying me. Can I fix something real quick? Because the preachers like me, all your life, they told you, you got to turn around. They've said, touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's about to give you a turnaround. Look at somebody and tell them he's about to turn that situation all the way around. They'll tell you, stand up on your feet and just turn around one time. Well, I don't think that's accurate. Can I tell you why Germaine doesn't think that's accurate? Because if I'm facing this way and I do a 360 degree turn, I end up right back where I started. You need to turn around from drugs, but I'm right back in drugs. You need to turn around from alcohol, but I'm right back in alcohol. You need to turn around from low self-esteem. I'm right back in it. But I'm thankful that when you look at the Hebrew meaning of turn, it's not 360 degrees. It's a 180 degree turn. Can I tell you what's about to happen in Chosen Youth Conference? Those young people, those children, those adults are about to take a 180 degree turn. They're never looking back again. They're never going back again. They'll never struggle again because we're about to turn. Woo. He said, when you turn to me with all your heart, that means everything in you. That means your mind. That means your will. That means your emotions. Then he gave some instructions. He said, when you turn, turn with fasting. When you come back to me with weeping. When you come see me, come to me with mourning. Not only come to me with fasting, denying yourself of food. Not only fasting, come with me with weeping to the point that you make yourself cry. Not only weeping, but come to me mournful, meaning I'm sorry for what I've done. Can I tell you what's going to happen in this youth conference? There's going to be an awareness of sin to the point where they say, you know what? I didn't have a right to do it. I should have never did it. And God, I'm sorry. What? Sorry. What? Sorry. Okay, can I speak to the older generation in here? Not having pride. Because you've been in church all your life. Smile at me. Tell me you love me. We're family. Not only fasting, weeping and mourning. He said, rend your heart and not your garments. I got a feeling just we're about to. If y'all don't go, I'm going to go. Follow my lead when it happens. I feel it. Yes, yes. To rend, yes. Young people, yes. Means to tear to pieces. I really want to show you, but I don't want to mess up this nice shirt I just bought for y'all. But it means take everything off. And when you're doing it, you don't do it pretty. You just... Y'all can't see me back then. Tear yourself to pieces when you turn. And not only do it with the outer garments, the stuff that you can see. But you got to do it in your heart. The hidden sins. Okay, y'all, excuse me, you know, because I'm going to say something right here in this atmosphere, and most of the time, because media and television and newspapers have portrayed this to be on the younger generation only, but it's on us adults too. So I'm about to say something here in the next couple of moments that some of you are going to get offended. But Jesus never came to make peace with his mother and father, so I didn't come to make peace with my other family. I set y'all up when I told you y'all were family. The hidden sins of your heart. You know, stuff like lying, being deceitful, talking about people. Okay, now I'm going to get into it. Men touching women that ain't their wives. Women touching men that ain't their husband. Oh no, this couldn't happen in church. Men touching other men. Women touching other women. I told you was going to get mad at me. You know what I felt on me this morning? I felt my papaw on me this morning. Some of y'all don't know, my papaw is Harley Hensley. That's my granddad. I'm just a little darker than him, but that's my grandpa. And I felt that spirit come on me. I felt my papaw on me this morning. Hidden sins. You know, teenagers are not the only ones that cut themselves, trying to numb the pain of their past. Rend your heart. Not just your garments. And here's the reason why. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's gracious. When he should have destroyed you, he spared you. Woo. For he's slow to anger. Can I talk to somebody? Some of you think God is so mad at you. It's impossible for him to be mad at you. Be thankful we're not in the old covenant. Because he got mad at them jokers. But the reason why he's not mad at you anymore is because of Jesus. He doesn't want to see your crazy self. He wants to see his son's blood. Honey, he's not mad at you. Lift your hands and receive that. He's not mad. He's slow to anger. There's nothing you did last night that will cause him not to feel what you feel now. You're mad at yourself. Receive that. He's slow to anger. And then he says this. He says this, Pastor, in verse number 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. I need for you to help me out for about 15 seconds. And what I need for you to do is sound the alarm. Just for 15 seconds. Can you help me do it? How, Elder, are we going to sound the alarm? We're going to shout as loud as we can for just 15 seconds. 15, can you give me 15 seconds? Because we're about to blow the trumpet. It's already starting. Are you ready? We're about to sound the alarm, and I'm going to tell you why. You ready? On the count of three, shout as loud as you can for 15 seconds. 1, 2, 3, shout. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blow the trumpet, which we just did. But then he said, in Mount Zion. Look at somebody and say, yep, in Mount Zion. Say, yep, in Mount Zion. Find somebody else and say, yep, in Mount Zion. Look at somebody and say, yep, in Mount Zion. Look at somebody else and say, yep, in Mount Zion. Put a little Pineville draw on and say, yep, in Mount Zion. That was fun. Let's do that one more time. Some of y'all ain't smiled all morning. Smiling now. Say, yep, in Mount Zion. I'm so drunk right now. It don't make no sense. I swear I am. Let me not laugh because I ain't never had a laughing spell. So I don't know how that is. I don't want y'all to tend me to the Solomon. Anyway. Mount Zion. In the Hebrew there, Katie, watch this. Watch this, B. Say, yep, in Mount Zion. Yep, 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 yep. Zion there in the Hebrew means the parched place. The parched place. Say, he was right, Mount Zion. He was right, Mount Zion. Say it, say it, say it, say it. He was right, Mount Zion. What does that mean? It means to be deprived of natural moisture. That sounds like Mount Zion. Okay. Let's get to where it is. You ready? Zion, man, God is going to use you in such a way that's going. Stretch your hands this way. He's receiving the anointing that God is going to use him in. Stretch your hands this way. Power now. We want to see your kingdom here. Revival. We want to see your kingdom here. Revival. We want to see your kingdom. Revival. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Revival. So, Mount Zion, deprived of natural moisture. Okay, let's get down to the nit grit. A very dry place. Repeat after me. Say, oh yeah, that sounds like the church. Not having natural moisture. What does that mean? Not having the glory. Playing games. Coming to church and watching a movie on the screen. And have no spirit breaking out. No walls coming down. No heaven coming. Say, yep, Mount Zion, a dry place. But can I tell you what's going to happen in the next 12 days? Now, you do understand when I'm talking about chosen conference, I'm talking about our Father's house. They're not different. They're the same thing. So when I say the youth conference, guess what? The only way it can happen at the youth conference is if it happens here. Y'all didn't realize y'all about to get something in the next 12 days. Because something's going to happen afterwards. What's going to take place? People are going to walk in there, walk in here, dehydrated. But by the time worship is over, they're going to be overflowing with the moisture of the glory of God. They're going to be hydrated to the point that they're going to be dripping with anointing, dripping with glory, dripping with power. Someone scream power. So he said, blow the trumpet in Zion. And here it is. Sanctify a fast. For the next 12 days, is there any first time visitors in here today? Amen, brother. God bless you. Could y'all make him welcome? I'm acting like this is my church, ain't it? This is my church. It really is. I mean, it really is. Thank you for coming today. And because you're here, now you have to do what we do. Love you. Sanctify a fast. Part of my assignment is to let's read it from the Bible. Let's read in the Bible. Y'all excuse me, I really am about to have a fit. Sanctify fast. Call a solemn assembly. Call them. Invite them. Summons them. Commission them. Appoint them. Give no option to. Endow them. Empower them to go on a fast. Not only call a solemn assembly, but you need to gather the people, which means the city, the county, your household, the kinsmen, Hebrew, that means county officials. What? Go tell them to go on a fast. Yes! Yes! Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Welcome. Church, we're going on a 12-day fast starting tomorrow. We're going to deny ourselves. We're going to consecrate ourselves starting tomorrow. Some of you are not going to be able to drink water. Some of you may have to fast from 6 to 6. Some of you may not eat breakfast. Some of you may not eat lunch. We're going on a fast. It means, assemble the elders. Who's the leadership of this church? Okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. I got you. If you're a pastor, if you're an elder, if you're a staff pastor, if you are worship leaders, if you're band, if you're sound, if you're audio, if you are deacon, if you are any type of leader in this church, we're going on a fast. Smile at me. I know you're mad you can't get them cookies from McDonald's this week. Oh, well. And I'm going to tell you why that's important in just 1 second. Just hold your horses. I'm wrapping this thing up. Gather all the children. My children can't fast. Yes, they can. If they understand they can't eat candy, they understand they can't drink juice. If you can tell your child, no, you can't eat that cake, you can also tell them you can't eat hamburger this week. We're eating chicken and fish. Now watch this. The Bible says, even the babies, the suckling babies. Now y'all fix that out with God. I don't have nothing to do with that. I pray hard and didn't get nothing. So parents, figure that out. Can't fast your kid off of milk. You understand? This is an amazing book. It's the truth, y'all. I'm just reading the Bible. Watch this.
Sometimes you can't get them adults off the milk either.
If this was my church and this was my microphone, I would have did this number. Watch this. Y'all with me? You understand we're going on a fast? You understand? I know it's hard. Trust me, I know. But I'm going to tell you why in just 1 second. Can you hold on with me? Watch this. It says, let the bridegroom go forth out of her chamber and the bride out of her closet. Now, I've heard this preached so many different ways. Can I just really just make it simple for you? That means your in-laws that you don't like to talk to, tell them that we're going on a fast. See? See how powerful that is? Because some of them don't want to talk to their in-laws. Because they don't like them. Because they always trying to tell you what to do. You know, sometimes you can say okay and not do it. Watch this. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Okay. The ministers and the priests, the leadership of the church, going back to the elders, right? The people like me that always pray in their prayer closet and you never get to see us pray. But in this season, God's not telling you to pray in your prayer closet. He's telling you to get between the porch and the altar. Meaning that if you're at a porch, you're outside. Therefore, anybody driving by can see you. That means that if you're at an altar in your personal house and you're at the altar of the church, that means the people can see you. And these next 12, 11 days, you got to get here at the altar and let everybody see you praying so you can lead them into this season of sanctification. That may mean you putting your mic down and turning around this way and lifting your hands opposed to saying, come on, everybody, lift your hands. Because you know fire is contagious. If I'm on fire and he gets close enough, guess what? He's going to burn too. Can I prophesy to you what's about to happen? The fire's coming. I said the fire's coming. Not only is he going to baptize some in the Holy Ghost, he's going to baptize all of us in fire. Why? Because we're going on a fast. How many of y'all ever heard of stories of Harley Hensley? You heard him preach. Y'all ever heard of the story about him going? You ever heard of this man? You probably know him and don't realize it. A man that went up into a mountain. It was actually a hill, I found out, because he was diagnosed with cancer. And he said, I'm going up there. And if I come back, That means God healed me. But if I didn't come back, that means I died, because I'm not coming off this hill until God touches me either way. And the Bible says he went up that hill, and one day he came walking down that hill. But he was walking with something that he didn't have in his hand, and it was literally the cancer. They took that thing to medical researchers and doctors, and they tried to figure it out and couldn't come up with what it was, because it was from another world. You know, if you read the book about missionaries that's in Africa today and in Africa then and in Europe then and in Europe today, you hear crazy stories like people's eyes popping open, not spiritually, but literally the blind could see. People that couldn't hear pop open, not spiritually, but literally was deaf, but had to pull out their things and they stopped signing because they could talk. People that didn't have legs, all of a sudden limbs begin to grow out. People that were sitting down in wheelchairs that's been paralyzed all their life begin to stand up to the point that they can hear bones popping back in place. You want to know why we don't see that today? Because we don't do what they did back then. All they did was pray, fast, and read the word. Smith Wigglesworth never read a newspaper. All he read was the word. But this is also the same guy that has records proven walking up the caskets, grabbing them out of caskets, throwing them against the wall, and when they hit the wall and get up, life came back into him. Can I tell you what's about to happen? Life is about to come back. People are going to live and not die to declare the work of the Lord. We gotta go on a fast. Joshua said, what time is it? I know I gotta get you out of here. What time is it? Joshua said, sanctify yourself today, for tomorrow I will do wonders among you. Joe said it like this, and it shall come to pass. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hold on. But it came to pass, your sons and daughters will prophesy. But hold on, it's going to come to pass. Your old men shall dream dreams. Can I tell you, 25 and up, you're about to have an encounter with God in the next 2 weeks. Yeah. You can lift your hands to that. And I want to let you know when it's going to happen. Your young men shall see visions. Hey, you guys that was down here, you sons of thunder, you're about to see visions. And I guess what? Guess what? I know when it's going to happen. Oh, watch this. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Okay, this is what God told me in prayer 2 days ago about 1:47 in the morning. Every single volunteer. Some of y'all need to sign up. every single worker, every single minister, every single sound man. Didn't you bring in a sound crew last year? It was just Josh. Didn't y'all bring in something though? Lighting. Every lighting crew. Every one of their crew members. Every person that's flying in from here and there. Every famous person that you're going to have. Every one of them is going to experience the glory. Justin, sir, there's going to come a moment in this conference that God's going to take you away for a little while. Brendan, can you stand behind him? Because the glory is here. There's going to come a moment that it's going to be as if you're on the Mount of Transfiguration talking with Jesus. Pastor, a prophet is subject to another prophet. Can I speak to you? There's going to come a moment in these next 14 days that Jesus himself is going to come visit you. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Red, break out. I don't even have a voice. Spirit, break out. Help me. Break your walls down. Break out. Come on, lift your hands.
Break our walls down.
I can tell you when this is going to happen. The Spirit is going to break out and the walls are going to come down afterwards. After what? After we fast. Put your hands, he's here. Your glory, Lord, revival, yes. We want to see your kingdom. We want to When is your son and daughters going to prophesy? When is old men going to have dreams? When is young men going to have visions? When is everybody going to get touched by the power of God? Watch this, watch this. Two more things, all right? And I'll be done, okay? Because I'm on assignment, okay? So I want you to know what's coming up these next couple weeks, right? Verse 32 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Okay? Which basically means this. It means that God is about to cause people to slip away. This conference is about to be a jailbreak for some people. God, in this conference, in this ministry, the next couple weeks, about to cause people to leave their shackles. About to break them out of jail. God, in the next couple weeks, is about to give us a get out of jail free card. The Bible says that for in Mount Zion, say, yep, Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. In other words, God is about to save people from danger and unpleasant situations. There's going to be young people that's going to run to this conference just to get a break from their family members that's been tormenting them. But God's going to put something on them in such a way that when they go back home, that father and that mother and that uncle and that cousin that's been doing things to them that have no business doing, the fire that's on that young person is going to jump on them and they're going to get free and they didn't even ask for it. Why? Because God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and it's going to happen when? The Bible tells us a story. Grab that bowl from me and set it right here. The Bible tells us a story in Matthew chapter 17 and also in Mark chapter 9. The Bible says that Jesus was passing through the multitudes, and when he came upon the people, he noticed that the multitudes was having a discussion with his disciples. And not only was it the disciples there, the Bible says that scribes were there. And when Jesus walked up on the situation, the Bible says that Jesus said, "What in the world is going on?" And out of the midst of the multitude, a man spoke who had a child, meaning he was a father that had a baby. And he said to Jesus, "I brought my son, who is known as a lunatic or having a dumb spirit, to be delivered because he's been tormented. At times he throws himself into fire. At times he throws himself into water. At times he foams at the mouth. At times he gnashes his teeth. I brought my child to these disciples and they couldn't do anything for him. Master, can you have mercy on me?" Jesus then turned to the disciples and he said, "How long will I have to deal with this perverse generation? Nevertheless, move out the way. Come here." He took the boy and he said, "I rebuke you, you dumb and deaf spirit." And the Bible says that the boy was delivered at that morning, at that point. Can I tell you what's going to happen in your youth conference? Fathers, mothers are going to drop their kids off at the youth conference because they're dealing with a lunatic. They're dealing with a child that has a dumb spirit. Some of you, if you wouldn't be so spiritual in this moment, would say that child is a dummy. Some of you getting mad because you think I'm talking about your kid being a dummy. And I'm not calling the child dumb. I'm telling you what's on the child. There's a difference between what you are and what's on you. What is a lunatic? A lunatic is someone whose actions and manner are marked by extreme recklessness. They're unconcerned about the consequences of their lives. Ooh, don't that sound like this generation? Okay, let me go further. They're an insane person, okay? To be insane means they don't have a sound mind. Okay. They eat bath salt. They skip school to smoke weed. Okay. They play with witchcraft. Lunatic. Okay, y'all still ain't with me. Okay. Lunatic. How about this? Crazy. Y'all know this generation has lost its mind. I'm impractical or totally unsound. A lunatic, a foolish boy. You know your kids act like a fool at times. See, I knew you'd get mad at me, but your family, remember? Can't nobody talk about my nephew but me. Not having sense. Lacking forethought or caution. Irrational. Unreasonable. How many of you tried to talk sense into this younger generation and it was as if you were talking to that wall right there? Try to talk sense into somebody. It doesn't make sense for you to go down that road. It's flooding. Well, my truck can get over and they go through and they ruin their truck. That's irrational. They're mad. They're enraged. Oh, God. They're angry for no reason. Have you ever walked in Walmart and just walked by a kid and they just... just mad. What you mad for? You woke up this morning. What you mad for? You driving the car you didn't pay for. What are you upset about? Didn't you eat your mama cornflakes this morning? Be happy about something. Just enraged. Angry. Okay. Mentally disturbed. Okay. I'm trying to describe the type of people that's coming through those doors in 2 weeks. How about this? Dumb, right? Because most people don't even know what dumb mean. Simply means this. Now, don't tell on yourself. It means lacking intelligence or having good judgment. How many of you can say, sometimes I'm dumb? Look at you, ain't gonna tell on yourself. It's good. You're smart people. You're a very smart person. Here's the last one. Troublesome. Always in trouble. Always causing trouble. But I want you to know that story in Matthew 17 and Mark 9 is a prophetic picture of what's going to take place in the next 2 weeks. That parents are going to drop their kids off because they can't deal with them anymore. And the last result is going to be, can you do something with them? And when they leave the youth conference, they're going to be delivered of a lunatic spirit. God is going to deliver them of a dumb spirit. Dummies are about to become geniuses. People that's been told they're stupid all their lives, their IQ's about to go beyond normal. There's going to be a notable manifestation of his glory there, where like something that hasn't happened in a long time is going to happen in his youth conference. Like somebody that's blind going to see. And I ain't talking about spiritual. I'm talking like somebody going to come in there in a wheelchair and they're going to be able to walk. Like I believe legs are going to grow. I believe somebody going to walk in there with diabetes and going to come back to you in 2 weeks and they're going to say they don't have to take insulin anymore. I'm talking about an outbreak of healing. Because the same sicknesses that adults deal with, children deal with too. It's just called juvenile diabetes opposed to diabetes. It's juvenile this and juvenile. It's the same thing. Cancer. Somebody's going to get healed of cancer. And guess what? I know when it's going to happen. So do you. When? we fast. And I close with this. We don't have time to do it all together, so I thank God for His Spirit. He's giving me instructions as I'm speaking to you now. I wish the date was on here. Elder Bender went to be with the Lord when? 2011. So it had to be in 2010. He preached probably the most powerful message I've ever heard in my life. Elder Thomas G. Bender, he was a prophet. He actually taught me how to put a message together. Now, some of you probably say, well, you didn't do 3 points. Exactly. He was the greatest mentor I had in my time at Bible College. Probably the same for these two. Coach Bradley for him, but probably Elder Bender for Brandon. He preached the message on being a Nazarite. And he charged us to take the Nazarite vow. And he made it simple like this, y'all. Because there was 3 things a Nazarite couldn't do. First was they couldn't drink any alcoholic drink. Strong drink. Now my prayer is that y'all not drinking and driving. But it's not my place to judge you. I can tell you for me it's sin. I'm not going to tell you if it's you for sin. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But anything that messes with your mind and causes you not to operate probably isn't good for you. That's truth. He said, no alcoholic drink. And basically he broke it down like this. Do not allow yourself to be pleasure driven. Rather, live to please Him who saved you. The second thing, open that for me. Y'all, excuse me for a second. Sorry about that. Thank you. The second thing was no cutting of the hair. Hair on a male and a female referred to the glory of God on a man or a woman. This means by not cutting the hair, the Nazarite was saying, I will not, watch this, I will not tamper with that which God has placed in my life. Not my will, but His will be done. Okay? All right? Thirdly, never touch that which is dead. The third vow of consecration is to stay away from sin. Listen, do not touch it. Listen, nor go around it. Now here's where it gets good. Nor fellowship with those who live in it. Isn't that awesome? Can I tell you why? Because when you're going on a fast, you shouldn't hang around everybody. So for the next 12, 13 days, you're probably not going to have friends because you're going to get so close to God that they're not going to be want to be close to you because they're not living right. Then he commissioned us when we take this vow to give yourself a sign literally on your body that said that I'm a Nazarite. Right? Not going to mess with sin. I'm not going to tamper with the anointing that's on and in my life. And I'm not going to hang around people that's sinning or be rounded or it doesn't matter. I'm not going to do it. He said, wear a bracelet. Put it around your wrist so that you can see it every day. I text Justin and I asked him, I said, what is the conference colors this year? Yellow. And blue. Sanctify fast. Gather the people. Tell everybody you know. We're on a fast. Call a solemn assembly. One of the definitions I read to you was not to give you an option. So today, I'm not giving you an option. You're going to fast. You're going to be a Nazarite. Because God's going to pour out his spirit. And he's going to do it afterwards. After what? After we fast.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
He's going to do it. Because we've been Nazarites. That's why. That's the remedy to glory. Prayer and fasting equals glory. Period. You don't have to worry about it. It's going to happen. So I got you some blue, and I got you some yarn, and up here is some scissors. Now here's the funny thing about this vow. Cause okay, what am I going to do with it? Just cut a piece? No, you're going to cut a piece and tie it around your wrist, and you're going to wear it because you're a Nazarite, and you're on the fast. And guess what? People are going to ask you, why do you have a piece of yellow yarn around your wrist? Are you a softie? And you're going to say, I'm glad you asked. And you probably shouldn't have asked. Because now I'm calling a solemn assembly. I'm on a fast. And now you're going to be on one too. And they're going to say, well, why? Because something's going to happen afterwards. And then they're going to ask you, well, what's going to happen afterwards? They shouldn't have asked you. The spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you and you're going to prophesy. Prophesy what? The goodness of the Lord. Well, who is the Lord? The Lord God, strong and mighty. Well, what did he do for me? He saved me. He saved me. Yeah, he died on, I feel God. He died on the cross. He died on the cross for what? So that you wouldn't go to hell. Is hell real? Oh yes, hell is real. Well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, guess what? You don't have to be. Lift your hands. Jesus, come into my heart. You're saved. Guess what? You're on your way to heaven. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's a setup. And it's going to happen. So come here, Brandon. Come here, Justin. You can help. You hold a microphone to my mouth. Don't hit me. So here's the thing about this Nazarite and doing this yarn. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you how awesome God is. Right? Because guess what? Can you imagine trying to do all this by yourself? Cut the yarn, pick it back up, tie it around your wrist. It's kind of hard, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't it be a lot easier if Justin is holding the yarn? I have the scissors. I say, man, that's about right. I cut it, put the yarn down. He takes the yarn and he ties it around my wrist. Y'all missing the prophetic indicator. I'm gonna show you exactly why that's important. And tie it one more time. That's good. It didn't have to be that tight. Okay, how about this? Because guess what? Sometimes that's gonna happen. You're gonna have to throw that piece away and you're gonna have to get a longer piece. Yes. Now he's gonna cut it. I didn't realize my wrist was that big. He's gonna cut it. He's gonna tie it. And he's going to just tie it again like that. One more time like that and to make the better knot. Yeah. Yep. He's going to then he's going to pick up the scissors. He's going to cut the access off. Because in this season, there's some stuff you don't need going to get cut away. Also, he helped me. You need people to help you live this life. It's a lot. It's great living it with you and God. It's just me and God and my worship music and my prayer time and my devotion. We were talking about that last night. But it's a lot better when I have family and friends that can help me, that'll notice, hey man, where's your, oh man, it fell off. Well, we got to go. Let's go to Walmart right now. We got to get it. I'm going to leave all this here for y'all for 2 weeks though. How many of you are excited about what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks? How many of you are happy he's going to pour out his spirit? And when is it going to happen? Okay, so I don't know when you're going to get this, but don't leave this building today. I'm going to do another one, actually. Let's do Bluetooth. Today, before you leave this building, you don't have a choice. Take the vow. Sanctify fast. Sorry, brother, take your time. I'd rather for it to be done right. Yeah. Perfect. Grab those scissors and cut it about right there. Yeah. Perfect. Hey, I love you. I can't wait to hear what God's going to do in the next 2 weeks. Know this, I will be praying, and if I'm going to tell you to fast, guess what? That means I'm going on the fast. The difference is mine will be kind of in secret so that God can reward you guys openly. Can you do me a favor? Please pray for me. I have to preach tonight, and I believe God's going to do something just as powerful there. I love you. I love you. Tell me you love me. All right.
Information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.org.